This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
The deadline is a minute away. Deadline. I'm using air quotes if you can't see me on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. It feels like maybe something's going to happen, and then it's like, there's going to be a collapse because the owners tried to add something else in, and the Mets players are unhappy. But if they don't, then there'll be baseball with spring games starting in a week and opening day being April 7th, according to MLB media.
The most recent from Heyman: Union Executive Board appears to be voting against approval. Ugh. Uncertain how this could affect the full player vote. And Ben Nicholson-Smith, a baseball reporter, adds, heard some team reps are also voting no. Details unknown as of now.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, wait, Danny, they got to figure this out in 5 seconds or else there's a deadline.
Yeah, or else there's a deadline.
And then things are going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
The deadline has come and gone.
Yeah, and now Russ Dorsey says things have hit a snag.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So it's funny. Like, I wanted to talk no baseball today. Right? Like, we lined up a show with no baseball guests, and the idea was basically like, okay, we see what the owners are doing. Spiegs isn't here. We will actually treat it how I believe that it should be treated, how the vast majority of fans actually feel, which is...
Tell me when it's over.
Tell me when it's over. And I felt like that was actually reasonable today.
I agree.
Because of the addition of the international draft, which was clearly like a Trojan horse thing and, you know, dirty politicking on the negotiation front. But then everyone was like, no. There could be free agency tonight.
Like, we got dates now. Free agency starts tonight. Opening day is April 7th. Spring training games. And I was sitting there going, like, I'm doing the math on this. Spring training games never happened a week after pitchers and catchers reported, did they?
No.
It's usually 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks, maybe.
Right. At least a full two from when pitchers, because pitchers and catchers report, and then position players report a few days later, and then there's at least a week before games.
Because I mean, I've talked to some people that said just the onboarding aspect of spring training would take 2 days. Sure. Like there's 48, like the onboarding of, we have to get everyone there. We have to figure out exactly how we're going to still be like COVID compliant. We've got to get people from different parts of the country into one spot, like all sorts of stuff.
Right.
So the idea that they could play next week seems ambitious.
Yeah. And now it apparently won't. But so we now have John Morosi on standby.
Okay. That's a good guy to have on standby.
Yeah.
Especially after what happened to Passan.
I know. Shane was like, are you texting with your guy? I was like, he's probably
leave him alone.
Yeah. I have gone to my phone a couple of times to suggest what his first tweet back should be. But I've stayed away. I figure he's probably in somewhat of a state of panic right now. But I feel like either the biggest baller move that he could do
is do something crazy that looks like he's still been hacked.
I feel like it's something like NFT crypto thing, right? That's hacked him. So he could come over the top with like pass and snark, like NFTs are a bubble or like something like against that industry. Or the swaggiest thing I think he could do would be to break the news.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like if his first tweet back is lockout's over, here's the deal, and he scoops everybody. I feel like that would be one of the swaggier tweets of all time.
It's funny because I hadn't even really thought about it in the way of like a programmer, but it's almost like you have to go backwards and ESPN has to be on standby since he can't tweet. It's right. Like, why don't you do it the old conventional way? If there's something,
go on TV.
He goes on the air right now.
Like, yeah.
Or ESPN radio or whatever. He just goes on and that's it. That's how the news gets broken instead of doing it on Twitter and then kind of doing it backwards where he tweeted this out, he's collecting the information, and now we're going to put him on TV.
Yeah, well, the problem is that all of these reporters have all of the same sources for like a story like this, right? The head of the union, the head of the ownership negotiating committee.
Someone in Manfred's camp.
They're all in an office negotiating at MLB headquarters. Like, we had Andy McCullough on yesterday, and he was just in the lobby of where they were negotiating, right? So, like, all the sources are in the same place. So, whenever this ends, whether it's today, a week, a month, whenever it ends, it's going to be bat, 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 right? Like, one after the next, after the next, after the next. But I would think he would, if he had something proprietary, I would think he would just, like, text Buster only.
Oh, yeah, you could do it that way.
But, like, text your ESPN colleague and
send it out because your Twitter doesn't work.
Because your Twitter, right? I would think that would be the fastest way.
Did he start up an Instagram account? Because he could have just done that.
TikTok.
I'm over here, y'all.
Yeah. That would be a good way to build up your following real quick. But it's got to be stressful. I have refrained from reaching out. I did talk to him a little bit about the snafu that he found himself in a few days ago. You saw the little apology he had to make.
No.
On Pablo Torre's podcast, he said he passed along a quote that characterized an offer from ownership to the players.
Oh, okay.
As an S sandwich.
Yes.
But he did not make it clear that it was that was the characterization of a source. And so it sounded as if he was characterizing it as telling the players not to take the S sandwich, and it was like kind of a syntax problem, and I was like, man, I can relate.
Man, you were like, this is my wheelhouse. Yeah, right here.
I was like, ellipses, you're a writer, I understand what happened. And so we talked a little bit about that, and, you know, I really think, man, and I love talking media with you so much, but like, so he is the number one baseball newsbreaker now. He's like, they hired him, it was in the press release when he signed the contract, like, to be baseball's Schefter, the, you know, baseball's Woj.
It's a pretty good, like, hub of talent that you guys had there in Kansas City.
Oh.
Wasn't Passan in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah.
So it was like,
yeah.
You, D.A., Passan, who else?
I mean, if you want to keep, like, going back, Joe Posnanski used to write for the
Joe
Star.
Posnanski?
Sam Mellinger, Jason Whitlock.
We don't count him.
Yeah, right, I know. But then, I mean, at my station, because, like, 810 is the Heritage station. 810 is more like the Score. And then 610 was like the new startup station. And often they would hire people, like sometimes they had KC people, but sometimes they would just hire like good talent from out of market. But like through 610, DA came through, Nick Wright, obviously.
I forgot about Nick Wright.
Who's born and raised in KC. I went through there. Sean Sharif, who's down in Dallas. Robert Ford was our baseball reporter, who's now the radio voice of the Astros. So he's called World Series and is like one of two black baseball play-by-play guys in all of the sport. He was like our baseball reporter. So the station had like a huge track record of hiring pretty damn good talent that went on to bigger and better things. And the Kansas City Star was one of the best sports sections in the country.
No doubt.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they always would win those awards. I mean, they had Posnanski and Whitlock as dueling columnists for like 5 years of overlap. That's crazy for a market that size. And then, yeah, Passan, and there's another big one who came through that I don't remember. It was well before my time. But, yeah, it's a great sports media market because the fans are crazy passionate, and it's like the best mixture of any city in the country of pro and college, right? Like, it's got an NFL team, it's got a baseball team, but it's still every year
KU basketball.
KU basketball, Missouri football, K-State football with Bill Snyder, And like, unlike Chicago, where people live here from all over the world, Kansas City, a huge percentage of the people that live there went to one of those three schools. So like the alumni base is there. So like when ESPN releases their top 20 markets for college football, KC's in it. When they release their top 5 markets for college basketball, KC's there. And so it's just like but no other pro markets are ever on those lists, right? It's like Raleigh and Louisville and like college towns. But so it's a weird, not maybe not weird. It's a cool pro college cross section mix. But anyway,
I smile.
Wright Thompson. Thank you, texters. Thank you very much.
I smile when I see, because, you know, like this place has been pretty good at that, too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Where obviously, like, you start off with Mike Greenberg. Like, and there are plenty of, there's probably a couple of listeners like, wait, what? Yeah, Mike Greenberg was the original Bears beat reporter here at the Score. And that line of Bears beat reporters is pretty tough, too. That like drop down of the Bears beat reporter is pretty cool. But I was watching TV a few weeks ago, and I smile because it's Cassidy Hubbard talking to Nick Friedell.
Yeah.
Both of them were interns. Nick was my intern. Like, it was like, wow. Like, you start, look at what Jesse's done. Jesse was here as an EP for a really, really long time. And now he's one of the, you know, foremost water carriers out there covering baseball.
Well, yeah, and it's what you're saying is 100% true. Casey's kind of like Allen Iverson, though. Like, in, like, pound for pound, they punch way above their weight class.
I agree.
Right? Like Dan had Ian Eagle on earlier today. Ian Eagle used to do, like, updates on WFAN in New York, right? So did Mike Breen. So, like, WFAN has this crazy thing, too. But, like, you would kind of expect it
sure.
to, because it's a huge media market. And so you would kind of expect, it'd be embarrassing if the Score didn't have a crazy tree and umbrella.
Like, you're right. But I came in on the tail end of what I think was the Score kind of coming out of its cocoon.
Okay.
Where there were a lot of people like, man, this ain't going to work. And this, in 98, when I walked in the door, like this thing isn't going to work. There wasn't a high level of respect for what it offered.
Right.
And then I think as we like grew up, like the station kind of grew up, and it was, when Speaks gets back, like me and him could probably talk about like the level of competition that was going on with the producers. Cause at that time, like I was trying to break in and I had to go through Matt Spiegel, Matt Fishman, Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood.
Right.
Like that kind of set like the template of your bleep better be on point or else you're not going to be asked to do the Hanley weekend show or whatever, like trying to get those spots. It was a dogfight like every day on who was getting the best guests and who was came up with the best ideas. Spiegel would if he were coming up in the game now, it would be a lot easier. But the stuff that was asked of him production wise on the Heavy Fuel Crew
show. He's told me some of those stories.
I mean, we used to share the space with XRT and they had production studios, and I think we had the update studio if no update person was in there. And then there was a studio in the back that usually where Spiegel would do his thing. You would see Spiegel 2 minutes before the show, like just getting the cart.
Right.
Like just, and you had to, back then, you had to pick the right cart length. And some of the carts would be, it would be 3 minutes, but if your piece was 3 minutes, a second would get cut off of it. And then you'd have to be like, where's a long cart? Where's a long cart? And we had the bulk machines where you would go and erase the carts and you had to navigate George and Schuster and whoever, Julie and whoever doing updates to give them their space to get stuff done. And we didn't have the internet.
Right. No, I've loved, we'll do it today. We're doing it with your guy, Dan Zampillo. Score stories at 5 o'clock on Thursdays.
And Lawrence, you got to save some of that stuff for when you're on Score stories.
I was just going to tell him. Our plan is to, in the weeks leading up to the celebration that we're hopefully doing this summer, is have the current people that have been, you know what I mean? So have, do one with you, do one with Bernstein, et cetera. So we've been talking to the people who are not currently here.
Well, I got 24 years here, so I got a lot of stories, Shane.
Right, so maybe we'll do a whole hour if you're willing and available.
Just ask Z why he broke up the best team that's ever been at the score.
I will.
Ask him what was it that drove him to torpedo my career.
Right.
And
because your career has suffered so much.
I mean, it has.
Yeah.
But you know what it is, though? It's a straight up like origin story. Like the me and Z show, like breaking up, like hit me hard. It hit me really hard when Z was like, you know what? I'm tired of being broke. So I'm going to not be broke anymore. And I'm like, no, man, let's stay broke. Let's stay true to our art.
How old were you when he went more the producer management path and broke it up?
I think he was 20, maybe I was 26 and he was 24. Okay. Or maybe 25 and 23.
Man, that's young to give up on being broke. You should be fine being broke at 23 or 24.
Well, I mean, he had been broke for a little bit, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Broke.
Right.
Broke.
I remember, oh, man. People talk to, like, when you talk to, like, young kids, you obviously teach, like, about the industry. I always say, it's amazing, but no. Like, if you have friends that are going into accounting,
it's going to hurt.
That's high floor.
Mm-hmm.
Miserable. But high, like first job 80K, like whereas like our industry, the lowest floor basically possible, and a super crazy high ceiling if you can get there.
If you can get to the end of the rainbow, it can be financially fulfilling.
Right, like, I mean, like Jim Rome made $30 million a year, right? Like that's obviously insane.
But even like, you know, the jobs that we're in, we're doing fine.
We're doing great.
You can live off of that and have a good life off of the money that you make. But I'm pretty sure that when they asked me, because I was doing both, I was working sales and I was working in programming on the weekend. When Drew asked me to produce the Murph and Fred show, I believe I agreed to do it for $23.5 full time.
Yeah.
And I think that was 2002.
My first gig.
Wow.
My first paid gig.
That would have been $37,000 today, Lawrence. $24K in 2002 would have been $37 today.
Well,
it's still low for a full-time producer.
And Shane, you got to make it work, man. And I was talking with someone the other day about the concept of being close. And that's what I mean by like the competition level here, where you have choices. Like I decided I would stay in the city, for example, and I wanted to be close because if they had a shift that were opening up,
yeah,
I wanted to be available to do it. And sometimes it's like, oh, well, this person can't get in from Wheaton. Can you get here and do a yes? Like,
of course.
Yes, I will be there. I will get on the Metro and get my ass downtown and figure out a way. But yeah, man, like I try to let people know if you love it, you can make it work. Like it's if you really love it, you love being a part of it, you'll figure it out. But you better have a partner. That I don't mean on air like the way Z abandoned me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you better have your significant other needs to understand that they're going to be paying for some dinners out and you're not going to be able to do stuff. And the holidays kind of go out the window because where do score producers make a lot of money? When we take off for holidays.
Right.
And sometimes it ends up with a microphone in front of your face.
Right. No, absolutely, man. Like I would say if you love it and you can't see yourself doing anything else, do it. But if you're like, I like it, but maybe not. I'm like, well, then start a podcast for free with your friends and do it as a hobby.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that. My first gig after, so obviously economy craps out, collapses 08. I graduate 09. There's advertising freezes, hiring freezes. The industry is in a terrible situation. I don't get hired. I'm unemployed for like 10, 11 months. The only offer I have is to go back to Syracuse, but they were going to give me the Danny Parkin show. So I would have done it for free, but that would have been problematic. but they said hourly wage, and you got to produce the show that's on before you. $9 an hour. And my big negotiating win was if I was producing a two-hour show that was before me, and I was hosting a two-hour show, I needed to be paid for my prep.
Hold on, we've got a deal.
So 2 hours for prep. We had a deal?
Yeah, Passan just got back on his Twitter.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Are we sure that it's
Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor deal, sources tell ESPN. While it still needs to be ratified by both parties, that is expected to be a formality. And when it is, baseball is back.
And then he follows it up with, and so am I. And then he follows that up with, also got some sweet NFTs if anyone's interested.
Hey, you nailed it.
I nailed it, and I didn't even text him the idea. We are of one brain. That's why we get along so much. All right.
All right, so no more LeGarrette Blount today, unless you think he can talk MLB lockout.
I'd say
NFTs.
I'd say we probably should move LeGarrette Blount to another day.
Does anyone know where Spiegel is? Can he be contacted?
He is in the Dominican Republic.
Watching children.
He's probably drunk, and we'll see. We will see.
That could make for a really fun show.
It could. You know, like, it's weird. This is worthy of celebration through the prism of the sport, right? It's like through the prism of what they just put fans through over the last few months. I still feel like they deserve your scorn.
I agree, but people will let that scorn go because you know their White Sox are coming back, their Cubs are coming back, their Cardinals are coming back.
Yeah,
they'll let it go.
Yeah,
because they do want the game, and we'll find out what some of the minutia is. I also think it's been interesting, like seeing how many fans have kind of made themselves experts in the CBA stuff alongside of this. And we'll let it go because we love our baseball teams. And that's what they've always been counting on. I don't think that the people that love the game like we do, I do.
No. I love the game too. It's just, I don't know how you can love the game and not have it be love-hate with what the product has turned into. I'm just honest about it being love-hate.
And I'm with you. I think and that's the part that sucks is that none of that stuff has been addressed. Inside of all of this, the problems that baseball has writ large haven't really been addressed with the actual game itself. It's going to be interesting to see how owners try, other than just opening back up, to sway the casual fan to come back to the game, or if they even care, because it feels like they know that they've got a resolute, diehard group of people that just want to love their team regionally, and they aren't as worried as they should be about where that next fan is coming from. But maybe they feel like, not my problem. It's the owners 20 years down the line. It'll be their problem on what to do with this game.
I think that is all very well said. And the other thing that I'd love someone to answer, because I certainly have no answer for it, is how do you figure out a way to make ownership and players more of a partnership? So this doesn't now happen every 5 years in perpetuity.
They'd have to want to do that. And I see, especially with Manfred being the face of this, I see no reason why owners would want to do that.
Yeah.
That I think they should. But again, this goes back to the concept of you would hope that the commissioner would be the steward of the game. And that hope has been dashed because of what's happened in sports and how more transparent it's become that person is a spokesperson for the owners.
Yeah, McCullough said yesterday, he said, you know, in the NBA, it can be more of a partnership. They got a salary cap. So the money is largely figured out, and it's just then all the other stuff. Whereas in baseball, with no salary cap, which the players will never agree to, nor should they, the money will always be at issue. And so therefore, it's much harder for it to be a true partnership, which I think is a pretty salient point.
And the weird thing is that both ownership and players agree that they're leech owners.
But oh, yeah.
They agree that, yeah, that guy is sharing in revenue, and he ain't doing jack. He's not putting together a team, and I have to carry him. And the players are like, exactly. You have to carry him because he won't pay us to try and make his team better.
It's a we got a break. Yeah, because we're gonna have John Morosi actually join us in like 20 minutes. So we're gonna do that. Lawrence, by the way, everyone loved the 50-50 idea.
Oh, I saw on Twitter
all night. People are talking about 50-50 and tagging restaurants and the whole thing.
Damn right.
Yeah, I think we're people helping people. It's powerful stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.